How many of you here today are gentlemen farmers? I see a couple of hands. How many of you are sons of gentlemen farmers? Daughters. Sons and daughters of... How many of you are grandsons or daughters? And so the reality is that we are moving further and further away from the soil. And we're moving in other directions as a society. And so the reality is that I can preach anything I want to about this sermon. Most of you wouldn't know the difference. But it is an interesting passage as we talk about this whole understanding of seeds, of how they grow as they take root, what causes them to produce in some places and not in others. And most of us are keenly aware of the power that roots have when they can grow in the cracks and crevices around our home or in sidewalks or on roads, and what they can do as if they are left alone and are just allowed to grow without any attention. As I read this passage of Scripture, I'm aware again that Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of God and how it has grown and took root. And if we think about those 11 disciples, now Judas was gone, and what happened after Christ gave this parable, and here we are today in this one location, a representation of the Word of God as it went forth into our world from this small town in Jerusalem, there in the small country of Israel. And here we are today, and they say that 80% of all Americans are people that believe in God. We think about the individuals that we have known in our life and think about the impact the gospel of Christ has had on lives. This morning at breakfast, an individual was coming to me and he was talking to me about his faith and how it had touched his life. We understand that sometimes there are those things that can get in the way of a productive garden. There are things that can get in the way of seeds that grow. I've shared with you many times some of the enjoyment that I had in working as a young person with my grandmother in the garden. Her garden was beautiful, but her front yard most of the time was red South Carolina mud and dirt, hard red mud in the dry summers and dog days of summer. And I asked her one day, I said, "Grandmother, why is it that your flower beds are so beautiful and your yard is so barren?" And she said that out under the soil, there was a huge rock. And she says, no matter what I plant, she said, it'll grow for a while. But she says it takes a lot of work to keep it growing because it has no depth. And it's true, even as I go past her place today and I see that yard and all around are woods and things that are growing, but out there, it's bleak. And Jesus uses this passage of uses this story in this passage of Scripture to speak to us about soil and in our soul and in how we treat the gospel. Hosea speaks to us about people who allow their soil to become what we call fallow. The soil of their soul to become hard. I can remember those times when plowing a tiller and all of a sudden you'd hit a spot maybe where you hadn't been working in the past, as you go out and the tiller would literally begin to bounce completely off the ground. And I discovered that was soil that had not been plowed in a long time. Maybe in a year or so, and it had allowed to get hard. And so Hosea speaks to us about allowing God to work in our souls. There are those things sometimes that can cause us to allow our souls to become hardened. There are things that we can experience in life that begin to steal the joy of our experience with God. Sometimes the weight of being a pastor gets in the way of the joy of being a shepherd. And sometimes it's the weight of pastoring a church or being on a board or a committee can get in the way. We have to be reminded that we're the body of Christ. We have to be reminded that we are the ones that are nurtured by the Spirit. We're the ones that are nurtured by our communication with God. And as we labor together as a church, we need to be smart. Smart in the way that we choose to do missions. Smart in the way that we task ourselves. A story was told about a young man who was working in the produce section of the store. And a lady came to him and said, "I would like to purchase a half a head of lettuce." He said, "Ma'am, we don't sell lettuce by the half head." "Well," she said, "that's what I want, and I want to buy a half a head of lettuce." Well, as any smart young man or woman would do, say, "Let me go talk to the manager." So he's on his way to the manager, not knowing that this little lady was following along close behind him. He gets to the manager and he says, "Some stupid woman wants to buy a half a head of lettuce." And he turned around and he saw the lady standing behind him. And he said, "And this nice lady wants to buy the other half." The store manager was captivated by the savviness of this young man and said, "Son, where are you from?" "Toronto, Canada, sir." "Toronto? Yeah. A place where you only have hockey players and ugly women." And the manager looked at him and said, "Well, my wife is from Toronto." He said, "What team does she play for?" Sometimes the opportunities come to us to be smart, to be savvy, not to be ho-hum in our attitude toward the church. Not to be ho-hum in our relationship with God. I remember at Bible school after Christmas, we were called to a week of prayer. And every time I have moments to be saturated in prayer, my mind goes back to those times. Those times when you put away the cares of the world and you push aside those things that clamor for your attention. And you allow God's presence to work inside of you and to break up the fallow ground. It's something that we as a church need to be reminded of again and again. That our relationship, that our existence, is because the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ took place. It took place, hopefully, in all of our hearts here this morning. But it took place, it took root somewhere in our history. Maybe it was your mother, or your dad, or your aunt, or your grandmother, that began to tell you the story of Jesus. They begin to tell you of His love and of His care. And that seed germinated in your soul. And today, here you are, all these years later, being a recipient of the harvest of that seed. The question is, are you sharing that seed? The question is, are you telling that story? You see, in Israel's day, my understanding, you just took a basket of seeds and you scattered them all around. Sometimes it was on a pathway. Sometimes it was around thorns and briars and bristles. Sometimes it fell on good soil, as the Bible alludes to here in this passage. And then after all that, you would then go and plow. Turn dirt over on top of the seeds. Produce about a tenth, they say, of what you sowed. Sow one bushel, well, you, 10 times would be, you would get 10 bushels from one bushel of seeds. It wasn't very productive. But Jesus said there are some opportunities here where things will be in an ideal circumstance and the seeds will produce 100-fold. That was astronomical. For something to produce 100-fold. And so we know today in our world that there are a lot of things that clamor for our attention. This past week I was in a training course down in Columbia this past weekend, and we had pagers and we had cell phones and we had all these emails and they were all going back and forward. And I thought about all those things. Clamors for our attention. I've even been in the pulpit and received a telephone call from one of my kids when I forgot to turn off the cell phone. It seems as though with all the things around us that we would be more connected than ever before. But you know, they say that's the very opposite. They said that the rampage of loneliness that is hitting our country is epidemic. Dating services have doubled in size over the last several years. 3,000 agencies nationwide trying to help people to connect. Self-help groups are everywhere. Self-help books. One minister wrote, and he said, "Remember newspapers without personal ads?" He said, "It wasn't that long ago." He said, "They could only be found in New York Times or some other section." But said, "Today they are in every paper, adding hundreds of millions of dollars a year to newspaper coffers and keeping many newspapers afloat that would otherwise go bankrupt." But it said the greatest indication of our misconnections may be what is happening in bowling. More Americans are bowling than ever before. But bowling in organized leagues has plummeted. According to Harvard political science professor Robert D. Putnam, between 1980 and the late 1990s, the total numbers of bowlers in the United States increased by 10%, said league bowling decreased by 40%. When we look at this passage of Scripture and we think about that Christ not only calls us to be seeds growing, but Christ also calls us as a church to be in relationship. Relationship with each other. Reaching out to our world. And as we live in relationship, we also live with the reality. The reality of what's happening in the world. The reality of how we can reach out to others and choose to be smart in our endeavors to be the church. A young man walked into a photography studio with a framed picture of his girlfriend. He wanted the picture to be duplicated. And this involved removing it from the frame. And so in doing so, the studio owner noticed what was written on the back. It's like what most of you did, wrote, you know. "My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I'm yours for eternity." Y'all remember when you wrote that on the back of a picture to your girlfriend, right? Boyfriend, whatever. It was signed, "Your sweetheart, Helen," with a P.S. "If we ever break up, I want this picture back." The question is, was Helen in this story really committed in a relationship? And that's a question we can ask ourselves about being the church, about sharing the seeds of the gospel of Christ. Are we committed in this relationship? If so, spread the seeds. Amen.